There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise.
Aerosmith, that's the song, Living on the Edge, Jason's Classic Cut on a Monday. Did you do the Classic Cut while Love Was Gone? You didn't. Well, that's fine. That's kind of a Jerry thing. I mean, the guest host would figure it out. Well, that's fine. I was just asking. Just. By the way, big thanks to Seth Mila and Greg Belfrage for sitting in while I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Which really is a neat little college town. It was all a buzz. Western Michigan, of course, was in the NCAA tournament, got pummeled in its first game. But that the town was just, you could just imagine, Jason, a town of about 80,000. Well, imagine if the Phoenix and Green Bay made it and there are no Packers. That's what it was like. We are discussing, asking you actually, and I'm going to weigh in here in a minute. We are discussing, what do you think Vladimir Putin's going to do next, and when is he going to do it? And the two counterfactors, I think, are the Russian economy is taking something of a hit. On the other hand, President Obama has shown he still doesn't want to be in a, as he puts it, a Cold War construct, which you would think would embolden Putin. So what you think he's going to do? I'll tell you what I think in a minute. Dennis in the Fox Valley. Dennis, go ahead.
Jerry, good morning.
Morning.
This thing with this Putin thing,
yes.
He's got enough stuff on his plate that he can nickel and dime Obama for the next 9 to 10 months. The reason being, he just got into Khmer, or however that's pronounced, but he's got to rebuild that. He's nickeling and diming Obama because he's got the troops over on the east side of Ukraine. We have... Possibly he could start doing things down in Cuba just to keep things close to home. And they're talking about sending arms and such to Ukraine, and they cannot even get arms to Syria. So how are they going to do Ukraine if they can't or will not do Syria? And the reason for 9 to 10 months is that he can wait until the wintertime. During the wintertime, he can cut off all the heating oil and the cooking oil and let the winter do most of his work for him to bring the western part of Europe to their knees.
If the West doesn't, now you're right about that part, if the West doesn't wise up and start trying to take that market from him, because as someone put on one of the Sunday shows, Dennis, thanks for the call, all Russia really is a natural gas and oil company state. That's really what they are right now. And oh yeah, they happen to have nuclear weapons. But in terms of power, that is, threatening to starve Western Europe of fuel is the only leverage he has. We could take that leverage away. Here's what I think. Now, Dennis said about 9 or 10 months. I believe he is going to lay low, but not because he got what he wanted. He's going to lay low because that's part of the pattern. He didn't start the Crimean incursion until the protests gave him the opportunity to. This is what's been lost on that. This was not unprovoked isn't the right word. It was unprovoked. His incursion was unprovoked. The protest and what happened, the deposing of Yanukovych was not provocation to attack, and they did. He invaded. But it was all set up by an opportunity. He didn't do it out of the blue. The lousy excuse that he gave that those of Russian heritage were threatened, they weren't. Nobody was threatening them. That was an excuse to invade. Here's my answer. He's going to wait for the next excuse. And I don't know if that's a further incursion into Ukraine. I don't know if it's somewhere else. He's going to look for an excuse. Here's what I can tell you. I doubt it's going to be within 90 days. I think the Dennis's 9 to 10 month thing is about right. If by that time there hasn't been an excuse, then he'll come up with one. Understand, he went 6 years between Georgia and Crimea. He's patient. Here's what I think is the high end of his window, though. I think there's a date specific that he will not exceed. You know what it is? January 19th, 2016. Unless Joe Biden gets elected president. I don't even think, I think even Hillary Clinton would be considered more of a force than him. A Republican, certainly. What he sees as his window of opportunity is the Obama administration. And the left and the media in this country can pretend that the weakness on the part of the West, led by Barack Obama, wasn't the problem. It is. And he feels very emboldened. And I think it was Dennis that brought it up. No one's talking about the Caribbean and the Western Hemisphere and what he's doing there. I really think he is more than willing to reignite the Cold War, to establish Russia as an on-par superpower with the United States, which it now is not. And this is the only way he can do it. He will continue. But I think he does want to try to con the free world into the fact that he won't continue. I would think 6 months ought to do it. Or the next excuse. And he will look for an excuse. Jim in Green Bay. Jim, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Yeah, Jerry, I think you're right. Putin is not done with this situation at all.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article, wasn't it last week that came out? It was in, of course, in a British newspaper with an interview with Hank Paulson, and how he felt that Russia was at the time in 2008 trying to team up with China to collapse our economy.
Yeah.
And he's not done. Putin is, over a period of time, his strategy is to crush the West and the United States. He's never forgiven them for what happened with the Soviet Union.
Well, that's true. And Jim, here it goes beyond that. I mean, you're absolutely right. But there's another layer to that. Thanks a lot for the call. And again, this is on one of the Sunday talk shows, and I don't recall which, and I certainly don't recall who said it, but I totally agree. Russia has felt inferior for the last 25 years. Since the fall of the Soviet Union, they realize it's not just communism that fell. It's not just the Soviet Union that fell. It's Russian stature on the world stage. Putin is tapping into a nationalistic mood right now in his country. And he does want to refortify that Russian bloc. And he may want to kick the hornet's nest here in the Western Hemisphere. He may be willing to do that. When I was driving Friday, I was listening to Rush Limbaugh as I was driving through Chicago, listening on WLS, and he was exactly right. He said, look, he's been brilliant. Right now, because this caller was trying to tell Rush that the caller thought he's gone off the rails, that Putin has gone off the rails, and he's just nuts. And Rush said, no, I actually think his strategy has been brilliant, which is why I don't expect him to do anything rash. He's willing to get into a waiting game now here. The only thing that could screw this up is if the rest of the world does put enough pressure that it really does cripple his economy. But though I'm telling you, the way to fatally do that is take away his Western European market for nat gas and oil. That would be the only way. And quite frankly, that might be the opportunity he looks for. I don't know. But as long as President Obama and John Kerry are who he's dealing with, he's going to be emboldened. And I believe whatever the move is, it will come within the Obama term, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Now, if I'm wrong about that, and I certainly could be wrong about that, and by anytime soon, I would say 10 months to a year, or again, the next excuse. If I'm wrong on that, then this is an even more dangerous situation than I thought. And it is really interesting, and I do, to a degree, blame Flight 370. Again, the coverage of it. Not, you know, I don't mean to be insensitive at all to the families involved there. By the way, if you missed the news, the Malaysian Prime Minister says now they have tracking evidence that shows it did go down in the Indian Ocean. And it sounds now that they are searching about in the right place. But Jason is nodding skepticism over there because he just doesn't believe the Malaysian government anymore. But I think the coverage of that, this is, it's not the Cuban Missile Crisis, but this certainly is the highest tension standoff in Europe since the end of the Cold War. And still our government doesn't seem to see it that way. Well, he's just living in the past. Well, it's back to the future for him, and they're missing that. John in Hancock. John, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Yeah, I just thought I want to call people's attention to the fact that this is not the first time we've had a dictator that said they want to unite a people group and then just say, just one more country. We'll just move over just one more country, and then the excuses will start coming on why they need to invade. Well, our borders were threatened, and that just happened 75 years ago with World War II. Hitler moved right across. No, we'll stop. We won't come on. We won't invade France. It just happened just like that, and they just kept moving right across.
Well, and that, by the way, that analogy's been made. And, John, this does sound exactly like the appeasement policy that the West used with Adolf Hitler. And, what if he does? All right, the belief that, he would never invade a NATO country, because you all know how the North Atlantic Treaty Organization works. Any NATO member is attacked, and it is treated as though they are all attacked, including the United States of America. That was a Cold War poison pill for the Soviet Union. You attack Britain, you attack France, you attack West Berlin or West Germany, and you have attacked the United States of America. I go back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Any attack on any nation on the Western Hemisphere will be treated as an attack on the United States of America and will be met with a full nuclear retaliatory response. In other words, you're going to start World War III, Nikita. Who says he wouldn't? Walt in Antigo. Walt, go ahead.
Good morning, Jerry. Jerry, there's a couple things about the situation in Crimea that are troubling in terms of where Putin goes next. First of all, there is no land border between Russia and Crimea. So he either has to supply Crimea through Ukraine or by air or by Black Sea. Air in Black Sea is pretty expensive, so I suspect that he's going to probably try to take eastern Ukraine. And don't forget that the Ukrainian demonstrations against Yanukovych were peaceful until Yanukovych's special police, with some Russian help, began shooting them, and they killed 100. And interestingly enough, all 100 were men, and mostly shot in the heart. Well, that's one aspect of it.
Yeah, and just so be clear on that, that's what I meant by the excuse. The protests were the excuse. Yes. What Yanukovych did was orchestrated by the Kremlin. There is no question about that.
Jerry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I actually participated in the Orange Revolution. I've been to Ukraine many, many times. And one of the things, you know, Putin began this 7 years ago when he put Yanukovych in the first time. And George Bush and Tony Blair and the Ukrainian people went to the World Court. Yep. And they got that election overturned because it was fraudulent. So this has been in the works for about 7 years. Yanukovych was Putin's man and actually still is. But, you know, they talk about the Russian-speaking people in Ukraine. And I have over 2,000 patients in Ukraine. I run a humanitarian aid foundation there. And when you interact with them, you're interacting with their families, and then I have friends there, and I've been in the media there. I don't know a single Ukrainian that doesn't speak Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a propaganda thing, that they were protecting the Russian speakers. My wife is Ukrainian. I've been married to her for 15 years. The whole family is as Ukrainian as you can get, and they live in the West, but at home they speak Russian. Except when I'm there, then they speak Ukrainian until we've had a shot of vodka, and then it goes back to Russian. And, to say that he would not attack a NATO country. I think that he's considering trying to stir up the Russian populations of, say, for example, Estonia.
Yep.
Angela Merkel and some other people, in fact, Nikita Khrushchev's great-granddaughter is a scholar and columnist in New York, and they're saying that he's just out of his mind. He's not dealing in reality.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. Well, I don't know about that last part. Jason, let's get Devin in here quick right away. Devin in Green Bay, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. Great to be on. You remember when Putin wrote that column,
yes.
A Plea from Caution?
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't it kind of hypocritical for him to go invade Crimea when he said that?
Well, which part of the column? Concerning what?
When we were having the trouble with Iran, and then he goes and attacks Crimea.
Okay, the column I'm thinking of is the New York Times piece where he questioned American exceptionalism. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's not hypocritical at all. See, Devin, that's the thing. Thanks a lot for the call. What he's doing is, and again, he just recently again called out American exceptionalism. They think they're always right. This is all about feeling on par with America. It's not 10:22.
The Jerry Bader Show.